أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا For the well-being of the Imam of Age, many mu'mineen have requested for du'as for their health. Many have problems present in this majlis. Many have departed. For all of them, three loud salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala
We talked about being optimistic with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and then continued with the teachings of Ma'sumeen regarding the importance of having faith in the oneness of Allah, His justice, in the system of prophethood, imamat, and belief in the Day of Judgment. And then we continued with some of the qualities that were mentioned by Ma'sumeen as to what is required and expected from a mu'min, from a believer, from a Shia. And some of it was mentioned. So much of importance was given to Iman, and it was mentioned that Iman is the foremost requirement for an individual not to be punished in the hellfire forever. Now, regarding this Iman and the importance that we have to give, it isn't as such that a person has to be in his early ages, young age, and then he learns Deen. It is an ongoing process. We have to continue learning until the last moments of our life. So that is something which we have to give importance to. And we look back into history, for example, one of Ahlul Bayt, it's Abdul Hassan, Abdul Azim Hassani, the grandson of Imam al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, buried in Iran, south of Tehran. Among the great Imamzadas there, a huge big shrine is there, and people who visit pay a visit to this noble personality. Once he comes to the presence of Imam Kazim alayhi salam in Medina, and then says, Yabna Rasulullah, I want to mention what my aqaid are, just want to recall them, if you could see if it is correct. So someone who is great, who is noble, who is salih, who is from the household of Ma'sumeen, comes to another Ma'sum just to check what his aqaid are. Or for example, if you look into the riwayah, one of the students of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam is Hammad bin Isa. Imam once says to him that, Hammad, come on, in rank, Hammad bin Isa, we can say, is like one of the Maraji'i Taqlid, such knowledgeable, great. Imam says to Hammad, I want to see how you pray. Can you stand up, say your prayers? And when he says his prayers, then Imam says, aren't you ashamed of yourself? With all this white beard you have, is that how you pray? So, correction has to be there all the time, regardless of who we are, what age we are in. Now when you call your banks after being identified, they say that if there's anything interesting, any deal, any policy, any new account you want to open, they'll say that we will speak to you about that after you've done your job on the phones. And same thing, inshallah, if we come up with some nice deals, that will be mentioned over here today as well. So, iman is important. Aqaid, important. We have to give importance to it. And constantly we need to refine them. We need to correct it as we go. And the more faith and belief we have in Allah, the better we can be optimistic with Him. The more the hope we can have, and the better we can benefit from that. If you recall, it was mentioned that a person will be judged before Allah the Barak wa Ta'ala based upon the amount of hope he had in Allah. If it was a lot, that he will be judged easily. So how do we get a lot of hope? By having a lot of faith in Him. No matter what problems pour down on us, if you look back into this tragedy of Karbala, Imam instructs to the household, to the women, to the children, to Zainab al-Kubra in particular, that I don't want you to complain. Why? Because complaining will reduce the reward which Allah wants to give you in the hereafter. So crying, it's not bad. It says crying sometimes would be like complaining, and complaining would reduce your reward. So that is the height of iman and faith which they have and which Imam talks about. So it was mentioned that taqwa, it's at-tahaffuz an al-khulud fi an-nar. It is a protection that we do something, that we do not get punished in the hellfire forever. We are all heading towards death. Every moment that we pass, it's a moment closer to the death. Now when a person departs from this world and he enters into barzakh, into the hereafter, riwayat, they say that initially this individual who has died is confused for some time, because he has neither arrived fully at barzakh nor has he detached or departed fully from dunya. So he is in that transition period which takes a few time for him to depart completely from here and to arrive completely at barzakh. Here in this glorious teaching, our sixth imam, he says that innal abd إذا وضع في قبره وتولى عنه أصحابه إنه ليسمع قرآن عليهم. That when a person is laid in his grave and all his companions, all those who had come to perform his funeral services, they have departed, Imam says that he hears the voice of the shoes that they are leaving, the tapping of their shoes. إِذَنْ صَرَفُوا أَتَاهُ مَلَكَانْ فَيَقُدَانِهِ فَيَقُولَانْ. Says when these people who had come to bury him, that is his relatives, his well-wishers, Imam says when they have left, the two angels, they come. Now the two angels, they come and they make this person sit in the grave. And then the first question they ask, that what do you have to say regarding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then this person who has departed from this dunya, has arrived at barzakh and is in his grave, says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Says that when he will be made to sit in his grave, and when this question will be posed, وَأُقْعِدَ فِي حُفْرَتِهِ نَجِيًّا. Says he will give this in answer, نَجِيًّا. نَجِيًّا in Arabic means with najwa, whispering, very feeble. He will give this answer not with a high-pitched voice. Why will he do that? Says maybe he is reluctant to say that if the answer is wrong, he will be punished. For that reason, he gives the answer very feebly, whispering. Now, when a person dies, it is wajib that we recite two talqeens. One talqeen is when we lay that marhum in his grave. We cross our hands onto the shoulders of that marhum. That is, my right hand should be on his right shoulder, my left hand on his left shoulder. Because he is lying in the grave and I am on top, these hands will be crossed so that the two shoulders of that marhum are held, and we shake and we recite that talqeen. That is, reminder of faith, right from the belief in the oneness of God and all the aqaid we have faith in, reminding him of the prophets, of the imam, of the day of judgment, etc. Now there is another talqeen. Once he is buried, we close the grave, and once everything has been buried, everyone has departed, one of the members of that marhum stays back, and there he recites that talqeen from the top of the grave, that after the grave has been closed. Here hadith says that the two angels, when they come and they want to inquire, when they hear that the second talqeen has been recited, they say, فَقَدْ لُقِّنَ حُجَّتُهُ. Let's go. He has already been reminded of his argument, of his aqaid. We don't need to question him. So this is that grace of Allah towards mu'mineen, being hopeful in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that optimism which we talked about so much. So Allah, his special favors are for mu'mineen. Who are mu'mineen? Those whose fundamentals are firm. One of the ulama is the son of the founder of the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Murtaza Ha'iri, a very noble person, says that a relative of his passed away. When he was laid to rest, this alim gets into that grave of that person to recite that talqeen. Says he recited the talqeen, but it took longer for him to come out of the grave. People said, why did it take so long? Why did you stay so long in that grave? He in reply says that I reminded him of all his faith, of his aqaid. I wanted to be confident that when the angels have come to his grave, he has replied them correctly. So people of that great caliber who know, who can see what is happening, angels frequent. And this is what Quran says, that with reference to mu'mineen of that high caliber, angels frequent with them. Marhum Ayatollah Khunsari, when he was ill and the last week before his death, people were coming to visit him. His wife says that a point comes that someone was there talking to my husband. We were amazed that we did not open the door, nor did anyone ring nor knock at the door. Now after that conversation ended, I went to him to ask him who it was and how did he come in. You couldn't get up. He did not knock. He says it was Malakul Maut, the angel of death. He did not come to take me, came to visit me because I was ill. And he said a week from today he will come to take me. So people of that great caliber, angels they frequent. If they have that communication with the angels, it's nothing great. Now, the questioning in the grave. We've got two types of questioning. One is a general questioning, and that is the angels, the Nakirain, or Nakir and Munkar, or Munkar and Nakir, they will come and they will inquire. So in this general questioning which will take place for every individual in the grave, the questions are regarding prayers, fasts, hajj, zakat. And another question which will be asked, it's about how did we spend our youth? That time which Allah had given to us in this world, how did we spend it? Was it in the service of God, in service of humanity, or was it on Facebook, for example? So was it a waste? So that is the questioning, that as to how this youth of ours was passed. The other question is regarding the income. How did we spend it? Now this is just a general questioning which will take place. In addition to that, the fundamentals that we have faith in. Now these questions that we have, the general ones, prayers, fasts, hajj, income, youth, spending time, etc., that is how the foundation of an individual is laid. There is an itemized billing as well. Now that itemized billing will take place in the hereafter. It was mentioned that 50,000 years. So in those 50,000 years, wherein the account will be taken, that itemized billing will be presented. Itemized meaning that here in the grave it was just asked as to what and how did we offer our prayers, did we or did we not, etc. Then every prayer that was offered will be analyzed. Niyat of that prayer will be analyzed. Recitation will be analyzed. As to whether or not my mood was present in that prayer will be analyzed. So that is how the detailed account will be taken in the hereafter. So the two angels that appear in the grave are the Nakirain, Nakiran Munkar. Here Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam. Says that for mu'mineen it's not Nakirain. It is Bashir and Mubashir who will come. Bashir, someone who gives the good news. Mubashir, someone who gives you the glad tidings. Says that these two angels in the best of forms will come to welcome a mu'min in his grave. Who is a mu'min whose fundamentals are firm? Tawheed, Adl, Nabuwa, Imamat and Qiyamah. And then says that, what do the deceased see? Someone who has departed. Imam says that they innakum law qad ayantum ma qad ayana man mata minkum lajaza'tum wa wahaltum wa sami'tum wa ata'tum walakin mahjubun ankum ma qad ayanu wa qareebun ma yatrah al hijab. Imam says, if you knew what they are seeing, the horror they see, the pains they see, but you won't see that because there is a barrier between us and them. There is a hijab between us and them that does not allow us. And then Imam says, if they were given an opportunity to communicate with you, what would they say? Amma law adhina lahum fil kalam la akhbarukum inna khayra zad at-taqwa. Says that if they, marhumin, the deceased, were given an opportunity to speak, the word which they will speak up is that inna khayra zad at-taqwa, the best commodity is taqwa. Taqwa is being fearful, frightful, pious, God-wary. And it was mentioned repeatedly, there are stages of taqwa. The first stage is learning the usul, the fundamentals. We have to learn them, correct them. Have faith in them. The more, the stronger they are, the more we benefit. Because Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam, they say that, although that support is there in this dunya, but if we want to benefit from them, Allah says that service providing of Ma'asumeen will be seen to the height, to the maximum, from the moment a person dies. Says, angel of death, he will be kinder to you than your own mother, than your own father, if that association, that bond was there with Ma'asumeen. And yesterday it was mentioned that we have to correct our relationship with God first. We have to correct our relationship with the Imam then. And then correct our relationship with the creation of Allah at large. And if these three relationships were corrected, then everything is simple and easy in the hereafter. Then says that, وَلْيَكُنْ هَمُّكَ فِي مَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. That is, we have to try, and our endeavor has to be the hereafter. That whatsoever we do in this dunya, it has to be for akhirah. Because man is not made for this dunya. This dunya is just a temporary place. We are here to achieve the highest levels of barzakh and qiyamah. Says that when the two angels, they will come to take an account of yours, that is for mu'mineen, Bashir and Mubashir, and for random, regular, general people, it's going to be Nakir and Munkar. Depending on what the and how the performance of these individuals was in their dunya, they will appear in that form. If it was good, they will appear in a good form. They will welcome them. And then says that they will come and open an outlet towards the heaven and say that rest in peace here until the day of judgment. And when it is the day of judgment, we'll come and wake you up. So that is for mu'mineen. For kuffar, for mushrikeen, for munafiqeen, for those who had done wrong, an outlet from the hell will be opened towards them, and that wrath, that punishment will be seen for them from that point until the day of judgment. Now, it was mentioned that if we have a deal, it will be mentioned. Now the deal is this. It was mentioned that if we submit our aqaid before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and sincerely say that this is what I believe in. And the day when we will be dying, shaitan also plays the most important role there. And he wants everyone to be misled, to be misguided. He's the sworn enemy of Allah. For him not to win on that day, we present in this majlis here, all of us will open an account with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala now. We'll submit all of our aqaid before him now. And then on that day when we will be departing, all of that be given back to us so that we also die on iman as a mu'min. Now in this talqeen that we recite now, opening an account needs some requirements. That is, all our identification has to be known and understood. And we are sincerely opening this account before Allah, submitting it before him. That is, when it will be our time to depart, give it back to us so that we die as a mu'min and on iman. So in talqeen, what do we say? We say that isma ifham, listen, understand. What? Hal anta ala al-ahd alladhi faraqtana alayhi. That is, that faith you had, what was that faith that was taught to you? Min shahadati an la ilaha illallah. That witness that we bore. And that is, there is no God but Allah, wahdahu la sharika lah, the only one, no partner he has. And that Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa alihi abduhu wa rasuluh, his messenger, his servant. And then we say that Sayyidun Nabiyyin, he is the foremost and the chief of all the prophets. Khatamul Mursaleen, the seal of the prophet, the final prophet. And then Anna Aliyan Amirul Mu'mineen, that I bear witness that Ali is Amirul Mu'mineen. Sayyidul Wasiyyin wa Imamun iftaradallahu ta'atahu ala al-alameen. He is that Imam which Allah has made obedience towards him binding on everyone in this creation. God, we have faith in them. We have faith in you. We have faith in your Prophet. And that Hassan and Hussein and Ali ibn al-Hussein and Muhammad ibn Ali, Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Musa ibn Ja'far, Ali ibn Musa, Muhammad ibn Ali, Ali ibn Muhammad, Hassan ibn Ali, and the 12th Imam, Mahdi, alayhim as-salam. Salawatullahi alayhim a'immatul mu'mineen. They are the imams of the mu'mineen. Mu'mineen are those who believe in one God, his justice, nabuwwat, imamat, and qiyamat. So we are opening an account to submit our faith before Allah in this majlis, and it is a safe deposit. Says that وَحُجَجُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And they are the arguments, the hujjaj of Allah upon his creation. وَأَئِمَّتُكَ أَئِمَّتُ هُدًى. They are your imams, O God, the guides, O God, abrar, the pure. And then we say ya fulan, we name that marhum who is in the grave, and then say إِذَا أَتَاكَ الْمَلِكَانِ الْمُقَرَّبَانِ رَسُولَيْنِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. That when these two angels, they come to you, وَسَأَلَاكَ, and they ask you, مَنْ رَبُّكَ, that is, who is your Lord, وَعَنْ نَبِيِّكَ, and your Prophet, وَعَنْ دِينِكَ, your religion, وَعَنْ كِتَابِكَ, your book, وَعَنْ قِبْلَتِكَ, your qibla, وَعَنْ أَئِمَّتِكَ, فَلَا تَخَفْ, don't be afraid, nothing to worry. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ, there's nothing to be in sorrow or grief. وَقُلْ فِي جَوَابِهِمَا And say in their answer. What do we say? Allahu Rabbi. Allah is my Lord. Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa alihi nabiyyi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Is my prophet. Islam is my deen, my religion. Quran is my book. Kaaba is my qibla. Amirul mu'mineen Ali is my imam and names all the 12 imams one after the other. And then says, أَئِمَّتِي وَسَادَتِي وَقَادَتِي وَشُفَعَائِي They are my imams, they are my chiefs, they are my shufa'a, they are my shafis who will help me out. بِهِمْ أَتَوَلَّى وَمِنْ أَعْدَائِهِمْ أَتَبَرَّأُ إِلَى اللَّهِ That is, I seek nearness to them and I seek refuge and distance from all their enemies. From in this dunya and in the hereafter. We continue and say that ثُمَّ عَلَمْ يَا فُلَانِ ابْنِ فُلَانِ That is, no understanding. We name that marhum إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى نِعْمَ الرَّبِّ That is, Allah تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى is the best of lords. We talked about this يَا نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى يَا نِعْمَ النَّصِيرِ And then says that نِعْمَ الرَّبِّ And that the Prophet is the best of the Prophets. And Ali and his sons are all the Ma'sumeen, the best of the Imams. وَأَنَّ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ حَقٌ Whatsoever the Prophet brought forth is haq, is right. And that death is right. Questioning of Munkir and Nakir is right. وَالْبَعْثَ حَقْ And that we will be raised in the hereafter. That resurrection is haq. Sirat, inshallah, we'll talk about that from tomorrow. Sirat, that is haq. Mizan, the balance, is haq. And the books that are being recorded and written, that is our performance, good and bad, is being noted. All that is haq. وَأَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حَقْ وَالنَّارَ حَقْ The heaven is haq. The hell is also haq. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا And that time, that hour will come, that is the hour of the day of resurrection. It will come. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ And Allah will raise everyone who is in the graves. And then we say that أَفَهِمْتَ Did you understand? We name him. And then we pray for him, ثَبَّتَكَ اللَّهُ بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ May Allah keep you firm with that word. And that word was this belief that we just recited. وَهَدَاكَ اللَّهُ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ And may Allah guide you to that straight, to that sirat which is straight. عَرَّفَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ أَوْلِيَائِكَ فِي مُسْتَقَرٍ مِّن رَحْمَتِكَ So this is the Aqeedah. We have opened an account and we submit it before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this majlis. And we believe that Allah is that trustworthy who gives the trust when we are in need. And we ask Allah to keep this safe and secure with Him and return it back to us so that everyone present here in this majlis Shaitan never wins on him in those last moments of our life. And by Muhammad. By Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, help us, keep us firm in this dunya with them in their service and grant us all their favors, love, kindness, blessings here in this dunya, barzakh and qiyamah. We talked about optimism with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So there are certain factors that we have. In our books, we've got a chapter known as takfir. Takfir means to hide, to cover. What Allah does, based upon His grace and kindness and compassion, He covers the wrong of an individual. And on many occasions, this is done. For example, if someone was not a Muslim, he embraces Islam. Example, at the age of 50, 60, he becomes a Muslim, recites that formula, the Shahadatain. At the age of 50, he is a Muslim. What about all those 50 years when he was not a Muslim? All those ahkam were not being practiced. Every haram that was to be distanced from wasn't being observed. Every halal that should have been done wasn't being done. So there is a shortfall of performance of 50 years, half a century. Allah says, He says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. I will cover all the wrong of that past. That is the grace of Allah, compassion of Allah, mercy of Allah. This is takfir. That He hides everything what was done, even a day or 2 days before His death. If He says that, becomes a Muslim, says all of that wrong will be removed from His a'mal, from His performance record. So that is that hope, that is that optimism, compassion of Allah, that how kind He is. Then He says that shahada, martyrdom. Someone who dies in the way of Allah, now depending on the caliber of a mu'min, of that shaheed also, says the moment this shaheed dies, the first drop of blood of his body drops onto the earth, says all the wrong of his will be forgiven. All he possessed, all he had was his life, which was sacrificed in the way of Allah. Says, for that sacrifice which he gives, the wrong which he had done will be covered. Takfir, covered. So he will be forgiven. Tawbah, that is another factor. When this takfir takes place, he says, because of that repentance, I will forgive him. And it was mentioned repeatedly that tawbah, it covers only accidental damage. Knowingly and with all might, with all courage, if I commit a sin, that will not be covered. By mistake, by forgetfulness, unknowing, if some sins were committed, or even the sins were committed knowingly, but if a person sincerely repents, now how does he repent? All the wrong he had done has to be corrected. Says, you correct the wrong, I will forgive. So that is takfir. He will cover all the wrong that was done. Another factor says that a person, when he comes to an old age, says because of that old age, special grace, special mercy, special favors of Allah, tabarakatuh wa ta'ala, apply to that individual and he will be forgiven because he has become an old man, an old woman. Then says bala, tests, problems that we have on and off, something unfolds on us. Says because of those balas that I pour down on you, I will cover the wrong that you had done. I will elevate your status in this world or in the hereafter. So that is again another beautiful factor, or how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala covers the wrong. Says that when we have problems, we shouldn't look at them in a negative way. Problems, they are positive. We have to change our glasses and look into them in a different way. Says Allah says it's either for the uluf darajat of this individual or for the forgiving of his sins, I send these balas towards him, afflictions. Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam. Says that I can't rely on my deeds not to be thrown in the hell. That is, no matter how much good we do throughout our life, we can never rely on our a'mal, on our actions. Says if Allah does not put us in the hellfire, it's not because of my actions. Says it's because of His grace. Otherwise, no one will ever win in this dunya. Or Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu was salam, he says that someone who was punished in this dunya, says Allah's grace does not allow him to punish that individual once again. Now someone, if for example in an Islamic state, a crime was committed, and the punishment of that crime was that this person had to be killed. If that person was punished and he was killed in this dunya, Allah will not punish him for that sin once again. Says one sin was done, one punishment was seen, and that's it. That is that grace of Allah. He says he saw his punishment, he will not see that punishment once again. So if we repent sincerely in this dunya, we will not be seeing any punishment in the hereafter. So that has, the files have to be closed here. So one, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, visits Salman. Salman was ill. Comes to Salman and says that, Salman, due to this illness which Allah has given to you, for this disease, illness of yours, He has given three graces. He has shown three graces on you. And you are special compared to every other person. Because you are ill, what He has done, He has a special favor and grace on you. Because of this illness which He has given to you, your du'as will be accepted. And then says, because of this illness which Allah has given to you, your sins will be forgiven. Now what we do is that, what happens is, when mu'mineen, they fell ill, they ask others to pray for them. When it should be the other way around. We should go to that ill person and ask him to pray for us. Because he has a special grace of Allah on him. That is, his sins are being forgiven, his du'as are being accepted. And that special favor of Allah is on him. Another person during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abdullah bin Yahya, in the presence of Imam Ali, for example, this majlis was there, and if someone has come in, he just sits beside Amir al-Mu'mineen. Says that on that chair, when he wants to sit, he falls, he bumps his head, hurts really bad. And he shouldn't have hurt his head that bad if someone falls off a chair, for example. Then Imam says, do you know why did that happen? He says, no, I didn't do anything wrong. And even if I did fell off this minbar, I shouldn't have bumped my head so bad. Imam says, because you sat and you did not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim while you were sitting down. Now, although not saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not a sin, but some people of some high caliber, tests which Allah takes from them is of a different type. Says, because you did not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you fell down and you bumped your head. So that is that grace of Allah which He shows to some in this dunya, says, correct yourself, fix yourself now. Or for example, Haj Sheikh Hassan Isfahani, one of the ulama, he says that throughout his life, if he lived for 70 years, he says, only once did I have my Fajr prayers qaza, only once. And says, for that one qaza of my Fajr prayers, I saw huge big balas which poured down on me. And then he says, whenever I miss my night prayers, I sit and wait for a bala to drop down on me. So that is how Allah tests, that is takfir. Now all these are those people of that high caliber which who Allah tests in a different way. Now, then says that, now when the ayat were revealed, that is, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, that is, whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and goes beyond His limits, says He will cause him to enter the fire and abide therein forever. And he shall have an amazing azab, chastisement. Now when this ayah was revealed, people, they came to Rasulullah and said, it is very difficult, Ya Rasulullah. That is, we have to see these punishments here and there. Rasulullah says, no, after this ayah being revealed, things are very simple. Says, if you see the punishment in this dunya, you will not see the punishment in the hereafter. People, they get ill, they get worried. Rasulullah says, if you get one headache, says that one headache of yours equals forgiving of 1 year of sinning. One headache, for example, 5 minutes, an hour. If you bear the pain of that one headache and don't complain to Allah, says 1 year's sins will be forgiven. A woman in her monthly cycle, at the end of the cycle, says that her sins are forgiven. That is that grace of Allah. How he covers the wrong of mu'mineen. A woman in labor says that because of the pain she is going through to deliver that baby, the baby is born. All the wrong which she had done, Allah says it is as if she, that mother, has just stepped into this world. Meaning that she has no sins, no wrong. That is that grace of Allah on His special servants, on everyone. And then says a husband, a father, who runs around to make provisions, to provide for his wife and children, says that he also is forgiven for that hard time he has in earning and looking after the children. So all this was mentioned as to how Allah covers the wrong of mu'mineen. So in tests, in trials, in problems, in balas, there is nothing to be worried. There is something good which is hidden down the corner, down the bend, which we do not see. A person with an uncomfortable face comes to Rasulullah, says that, Ya Rasulullah, out of all of these ahkam of yours, I will just stick to wajib only. If it is prayers, only wajib prayers. If it is fasting, only the fast. Says, why? Says, look at this face Allah has given to me, how detestable it is. For that reason, I will not do anything mustahab. There Jibreel descends. Says, Allah has sent your salam, his salam to you and this person with this uncomfortable face, and has said to inform him that in the hereafter, Allah will grant him the face of Jibreel alayhi salam. He says that when he got this message that Allah will give him the face of Jibreel in the hereafter, he says that whatsoever you have in this package of your deen, Rasulullah, I will not miss anything out. So that is the grace of Allah, how He covers. If something bad is given to us, it's not bad. We see it bad. So everything is good in this grand creation of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what happens over here is that we have to change our mindset, that how do we look at things? What we learn from Karbala, from Zainab al-Kubra, is that she says, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. Whatsoever I saw was beautiful. There was nothing ugly. Although there is that bloodshed, there is that horror, there is that burnt down, cutting down, being killed, etc. Says everything was beautiful. Teaching which Abu Abdullah teaches here says that don't complain. Be thankful. If you complain or if you are not thankful, that ajr of yours will be reduced. So if job losses, let it go. Allah hasn't died. He is that eternal who lives forever. And He has sworn an oath that as long as I am God, sustenance of my creation is upon me. I will never let anyone deprive, that food and drink will be provided to him. Fir'aun is the enemy of God, claims to be God, stands against God. And when Waliullah Musa says, Allah, I'm just fed up. Says, what do I do, Musa? Say, what shall I do? Says, kill him, take away his food and drink and everything, just get rid of him. Allah says, that I will never do. Although he is my enemy, he has stood against me, as long as I am God, although he is my enemy, to the last bit of his rizq and sustenance, I will give, no matter who he is. So, there's nothing to panic, nothing to worry. When we have these problems, have hope in Allah, and the more the hope we have, the better we will benefit from His presence. We see all these dreams. People, they call. They say, this is what I've seen and this is what's going to happen. Ma'sumeen, they say that the way you interpret your dream is what's going to happen. If you look at your dream, no matter what it is, if you look at it positively, that positive will take place. If you translate it in a negative way, that's what's going to come up. So look at things in a positive way, in a hopeful way, in an optimistic way, and that is what will unfold. Ziyarat Ashura, we recite And this Ziyarat Ashura, it's all crying and pleading and cursing the enemies. After all that pleading and down in sajda, and we say, Allahumma lakal hamdu hamda shakirin. That is, despite all of that pleading and crying, O God, all praise belongs to you and we thank you. So that is being optimistic in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One of the great noble personalities, it's Wahshi Bafqi. He is paralyzed. Among those personalities who loves Imam al-Asr a lot. That is, whenever something is mentioned, he twists and turns the topic and brings it to Imam al-Asr. He is paralyzed. Someone comes to him and says, how are you? Says, how better I can be. Says, after everything, you can't move, you can't stand, you can't sit, you can't eat, you can't wash yourself. And then you are thankful. He says that, look at me. From this morning till now, you've got all these different people massaging me, feeding me, cleaning me. What more do I want? I wasn't like that when I wasn't ill. Now that I'm ill, they look after me much more. So that is looking at these tough situations in a positive way. It is difficult, but it is possible. So, performing wajibat, namaz, fasts, hajj, zakat, khums, etc. Rasulullah here, he says that it will remove all the wrong of yours and bring it to zero. That is, say your prayers on time, 5 times a day. Observe everything which is wajib. He says all the wrong will be just deleted, 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 and everything will be restored and rebooted to zero, as to the original manufacturer settings. Here, in one of the debates, we find that Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu was salam, to his companions, says that from all of these 6,600 ayat of Quran, which ayah of Quran gives you the maximum amount of hope? Everyone said something. But Imam then comes up and says that the ayah which gives you the most hope is this ayah. It says, وَأَقِمِ السَّلَاةِ تَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلْفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Says that you keep up prayers towards both sides of the day and then towards the night. Why? Indeed, innal hasanat yudhibna sayyat. That is, when you do good, Allah removes the bad. That is, prayers, if they are said on time and regularly, it's a wajib we have done. He says, because of that wajib you've done, because of that good you did, the bad will be removed. So that is that grace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he has towards now a person who had done a lot of wrong. In the presence of Rasulullah, he was saying his prayers. He said his prayers and says that, Ya Rasulullah, I've done so much of wrong. Any nuskha, any dua, any zikr, anything I can, so that my wrong is removed. Rasulullah did not say anything. He said, you just said your prayers. He repeats the question once again. He said, nothing. You said your prayers, you are forgiven. The wrong you had done was forgiven because of that prayers. So that is how Allah covers the wrong of an individual, no matter how much wrong he had done. He says that in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a Muslim, he says that when he performs a wuzu and says his prayers, the 5 prayers every day, Rasulullah had a branch of a tree in his hand with a lot of leaves in it. He brushes that branch onto the ground and all the leaves, they fall. Says that as the leaves fell from this branch of this tree, says you performing a wuzu, saying your prayers regularly 5 times a day, removes all the wrong of yours, just like the shedding of these leaves from this tree. So much of grace Allah has towards us. So many factors we find throughout our life, and all of them just after excuses to forgive us, just after excuses for to bring us back on track. That is how Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has that grace upon especially mu'mineen. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Towards mu'mineen, he is Rahim. It says Kana. Kana in Arabic means he was. Not now. Was from ever he has been Rahim towards mu'mineen. That is, if we ever understood that how kind this Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is, and how much of a grace, and Masumin, they say that the moment we die, only then will we come to know that how much of a grace he has towards the mu'mineen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, Ya Fatima, kullu aynin baqiyatun yawm al-qiyamati illa aynun bakat ala musab al-Husayn. Says, every eye will weep on the Day of Judgment. Says, but the eye that had wept on Hussein will be happy on the Day of Judgment, on the day of that horror. Says, will be laughing on the Day of Horror. Why? Because of this bond we had with Abu Abdullah and Hussein. And we see that in this few days that Abu Abdullah arrives at Karbala, and until the day of Ashura, the 70 ashab he has, he himself says that La a'lam ashab al awfa. That is, I do not know. La a'lam in Arabic means I do not know. Now, I do not know for a ma'soom is a negative. I do not know. I don't know. That's not the case. La a'lam, when Imam says, it means that when I scan the creation, right from the first person who was created until the last who will be created, says, I do not find anyone better than these 70 which Allah had given to me. And which is a fact. One of them is Habib ibn Mazahir, an old man. Now Habib, in his childhood, age difference between him and Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is huge. Many decades older than Abu Abdullah. Says that once Abu Abdullah was a toddler playing in the streets of Medina, Habib, he starts kissing the dust of the feet of Hussein. Rasulullah comes and says to his companions, hugs this child, says Habib, and prays for Habib. We find that Habib, in the last few days of his life, that is, assuming he is a month, for example, before Ashura, he is in the market. There, Muslim ibn Awsajah is also present. Both of them are worried because people in Kufa, they were collecting animals, they were collecting all the swords, preparing to fight Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Here Habib said that they are all united to fight the son of Rasulullah. Muslim cried. He cried. Habib was having lunch with his wife at home. Wife, a mu'mina. She says that Allahu Akbar. Very soon a courier, a noble letter from a benevolent person will reach. She did not say these few phrases to her husband that soon some note or notification or a letter is going to arrive. Says that very moment someone knocks at the door. Habib says, who is it? The messenger, the courier. He says that this is a messenger. Ana Rasulun Hussein ilayk. A messenger from Hussein has come to you. فَقَالَ حَبِيبُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. That you just said that a message will come, and a message has come from Hussein. Then says that she inquired, what does it say, Habib? Says, هَذَا مِنَ الْحُسَيْنِ ibn عَلِي ibn أَبِي طَالِبْ إِلَى الرَّجُلِ الْفَقِيهِ. A message from Hussein to Habib, a man who is faqih. And then Imam starts his notes, says that Habib, your nearness to us, everyone else knows that, you yourself know it better. You are dignified, you are honorable, you are selfless, Don't deprive yourself from extending your services to us, Ahlul Bayt, and the Apostle will reward you in the hereafter. Habib starts thinking as to what should be done, planning. Although he was ready to leave, he just wants to see what the environment, the atmosphere at home is. And then says that, yes, I will die and this beard of mine will be soaked in my blood in the service of the son of Rasulullah. Habib's cousins, they get the news that he has intended to leave. They come and say that we are not in this favor, that you join the son of Rasulullah and be with him. We don't want you to do that. Habib denied and hid his intentions that he wants to go. Now Habib's wife, she heard this conversation between him and his cousins and says that, looks like you are reluctant to go and serve the son of Rasulullah. He just wanted to see what the intentions of the wife are. And says, yes, if I leave, you will be widowed. If I go, the children will be orphaned. If I leave, who will look after the children after me? So on and so forth. She cried, says, Habib, don't delay. Don't let this message of Abu Abdullah calling you for help, let that standing, let that wait. And then she starts crying, وَقَالَتْ يَا حَبِيب أَنَّسِيتَ كَلَامَ جَدِّهِ فِي حَقِّهِ وَأَخِيهِ الْحَسَنِ. She starts talking to Habib now, giving a lecture. Says, Habib, have you forgotten what he has said regarding his son Hassan and Hussein? Has he not said that وَلَدَ these two sons of mine, هَذَا سَيِّدَا شَبَابِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, they are the chief of the youth of the heavens? Has he not said that they are the imams, whether they rise or whether they sit? And bika wa anta lam tajib. Now, after all this talk which Rasulullah has for them, will you not go, Habib? Faqala Habib, akhafu ala atfali. He comes up with excuses. What will happen to my children? Etc. She says, we have learned from the household of Rasulullah how to go into captivity, how to bear all these pains, these troubles, these afflictions. And then when he finds out that she wants him to leave, he says, okay, I will go. May Allah reward you. And is there anything you want me to do? She says, yes, Habib. إِلَيْكِ حَاجَةٌ فَقَالَ وَمَا هِيَ. Says that, قَالَتْ بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ يَا حَبِيبِ إِذَا قَدَّمْتَ عَلَى الْحُسَيْنِ. Says, Habib, when you see Hussein, I want you to kiss his hands and his feet on my behalf. حُبًّا وَكَرَامَةً. That is to portray all that love that I have towards this household. Habib prepares his horse and sends it with his slave to out of the town because people did not want him to join Hussein. Says he sends this horse out of the town and says to the slave, go and wait there, I will come in a bit. Now this slave, he had heard this conversation, the messenger who had come, who had delivered, and this talk between Habib and his wife, and also what his cousins has said, he is worried. Takes the horse out of the town, wants to feed it, and then starts talking to the horse. Says, if your master doesn't come, what will happen? Says, this horse, you have been prepared to take this rider to Hussein. And they are fighting him. Says, the moment he starts talking to the horse starts crying, tears in his eyes. And this conversation was heard by Habib. Habib says, I never thought that my slave would be that great. Says, I free you in the way of Allah. Says, no freedom. You want to take me into captivity now by freeing me now? I don't want freedom. Says, what do you want? Says, I want to be with you, to join you and give my life in the way of Hussein ibn Ali. says, okay. They come to this point and heading off towards Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And they see that all the flags have been distributed and one of the flags was left. Companions of Aba Abdullah say that, Ya Aba Abdullah, who do you give this flag to? He says, he's coming. He's on his way, he will reach now. And when he reaches, Habib comes. That flag was given to Habib by Aba Abdullah. Zainab says, it seems Hussein is happy. What has happened? Says, one of the companions has just come. Says, who is that? Says, Habib. Zainab says, my salam be to you, Habib. Sincere servant of Aba Abdullah, Habib. The oldest member of the caravan of Aba Abdullah is Habib. Now, we've got an old Sahabi, a companion like Habib, and we've got another one, young Qasim, son of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, age is 13. And when Imam Mujtaba is in his last moments, giving away his life, poisoned by his own wife, Ja'da, la'anatullahi alayha, we find in that wasiyya, Imam calls his son a toddler. Says that Qasim, now Imam, he was poisoned, and they say that on and off he used to throw blood. Pieces of his liver were thrown out. Says that I don't want to be deprived or ashamed on the day of judgment, Qasim. I want you to serve your Imam of your time, which is my brother Hussein. Says that you on the day of Ashura will go to him and plead to give away your life for your master. Hussein will not accept. And then says, plead, cry. He will not accept. Writes the note and gives it to his wife and then say that go to your mother, take that note and give it to your uncle. And the same thing unfolds. On that day of Ashura, he comes to Aba Abdullah, pleads, and his permission is denied. Again he pleads, he kisses his hands, falls onto his feet. Permission is denied. Comes to his aunt, Zainab, where is my mother? Says, what has happened? He would not let me go. Says, okay. Comes to his mother, she gives a note, brings that note. What does that note read? Says, written by Imam Mujtaba. Says, Hussein, don't let my son plead so much, let him go. Maqatil, they write that. When Imam asks Qasim, how do you see death, Qasim? He says, Ahla min al-asal, sweeter than honey. Maqatil, they say that. Now the soldiers who were present were all adults. Now this is a young boy, just 13 years of age. No sword was his size, no armor of his size. No right footwear. Even the reporter says that when he had mounted the horse, I saw that the left leg of his, the left footwear, wasn't tied. So he didn't have right boots, right footwear for this battle. And says that when he walked, that sword also dragged on the... But sets off to fight in the way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Says he fights. All of a sudden he raises a cry, says, Ya Ammah, uncle, help me. Says when Aba Abdullah, he rushes towards the field to help Qasim, says he couldn't see anything because of the dust that had, says in that stampede, Qasim also had passed away. Comes to the body of Qasim, puts his head onto his laps and says that, how sad that you call for help and this uncle of yours couldn't do anything. Imam holds, hugs this Qasim and brings him and lays him down by Ali Akbar amongst the Shuhada. One after the other, the Ashab, they pass away. And Aba Abdullah is left us alone. کاش زهالت خبری داشتیم کاش به پای تو سری داشتیم
کاش که مانند سماواتیان ناله صاحب اثری داشتی تا به هوای تو بگیریم. او کاش که ما بال و پری داشتیم، کاش به سیمای دل افروز تو رخصت عطف نظری داشتیم، کاش که در بدرقه راه تو قدر دعای سحری داشتی، کاش ز حالت خبری داشتی. علا لعنت الله علی القوم الظالمین و سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. الهی بحق الزهراء و ابیها و بعلها و بنیها و السر المستودع فیها، یا الله 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 یا الله. الهی grant dignity, honor, fame, عزت, might to Islam and to Muslimin, defamation to every mushrik, to everyone who has stood against Islam and Muslimin. Ya Allah, by the shuhada of Karbala, by Qasim ibn al-Hasan, hasten in the return of Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Ya Allah, our children to be enlisted among the best of servants of Ahlul Bayt. Ya Allah, we to be counted among the best of Muslims who ever existed. All those who are ill and ailing, Ya Allah, especially present in this majlis. All those who have hopes in such majalis. All those who have passed away. All those who have hajat, whatsoever they be. The problems that we are facing, the trials that we have, the tests that we have, Allah, make it as such that they are sweet for us. Ease everything for us. Hasten in the return. وَعَجِّلْ فِي فَرَجِ مَوْلَانَا صَاحِبَ الزَّمَانِ.
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.